You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting. MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC on ESPN Plus 11 event, which takes place in Stockholm, Sweden. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Now, this card will be doing a little bit more streamlined picks because the podcast is coming out a bit late due to some technical difficulties, but we will still be throwing in some analysis for each fight. Now, looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley lost 1.62 units on his free bet for UFC on ESPN Plus 10 on Megan Anderson, although he did profit on his premium bets. Kyle has his bets and fantasy MMA picks available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC on ESPN Plus features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus this Saturday morning. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on ESPN2 is a lightweight contest between Danilo Belverdo, who is 12-3, and Joel Alvarez, who is 15-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Alvarez opened minus 135, the comeback on Belardo at minus 105. And looking at our sponsor sportsbook, betdsi.eu, make sure you guys always show BetDSI some love. Right now at BetDSI, Belardo is at minus 108, the comeback on Alvarez is at minus 105. So line margins have tightened up. Basically a pick 'em fight, two-way action coming in this fight. It's going to keep flipping back and forth. This is a tough fight to call right off the rip, but it should be an exciting fight. Both these guys like to take the fight to the floor, and both of them really excel there. I mean, I think Berlardo overall on the feet has a little bit more power and a little bit more to offer, and he can have a little bit more success dictating the pace, and maybe he wants to kind of follow that blueprint to beat Alvarez. But Alvarez, man, make no mistake, he is game anywhere the fight takes place, but especially on the ground. So what I think happens here is – Belardo is going to start off doing really well and maybe even winning this fight, but along the way in the three-round fight, I think Alvarez is so slick on the ground that he's going to find his spot and probably finish this fight. So if not, I think Alvarez could even have enough success on the ground to probably steal the decision as well. If it goes to cards, I slightly favor Belardo, so you got to be cautious. But again, I think Alvarez is going to be game enough to keep it close. But more than anything else, I do favor Alvarez to finish this fight inside by submission. So the pick is Alvarez to win by submission, and there might be a little bit of value left on him.
Both fighters are talented on the ground. Belardo is a little bit better at getting top position, has some decent ground and pound, while Alvarez is just very aggressive looking for submissions and is a little bit more comfortable off of his back. Now, obviously, as Nick mentioned, that would mean Belardo has a better chance of winning a decision, but I don't think this goes to decision. Belardo probably has the edge on the feet, my biggest issue is he leaves himself open for submission opportunities with his opponent, especially when he looks to take fights to the floor. And I think that's something that Alvarez can really attack, because he is always looking for the submission in pretty much every position. I think both guys are fun on the ground, and this should be an entertaining fight for however long it lasts. But I think Alvarez catches Belardo at some point and gets the finish. So Alvarez is going to be my pick. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Devin Clark, who is 9-3, taking on Darko Stosic, who is 13-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Stosic opened minus 265, the comeback on Clark at plus 185. Right now, we see Clark at minus 116, the comeback on Stosic at plus 103. So needless to say, the line opened way too high, action coming in Clark's way. And I understand it, especially plus 185. There's no question that Clark had some value at that time. So those of you guys who jumped in on the early line, congratulations out there. I think you took a good price. This should be an interesting fight because I think Clark obviously has a lot of advantages in this fight. But one, the Stosic definitely has is the power on the feet. He could definitely be devastating, and he's the type of knockout artist that could present a lot of problems to Clark, especially Clark's a bit chinny. He makes a lot of mistakes standing defensively, especially. So stylistically, it's an interesting matchup because I think Stosic, again, could present a lot of problems, especially in that route. But Clark also has a path to victory. He needs to make this an ugly fight, look for takedowns, try to slow the pace of this fight up and make it a grueling fight. And I think he's capable of doing that. So not a lot of confidence. But again, it was a dog or pass situation early on for sure. And at the current price at a pick'em, it's kind of tougher to bet here because, like I said, it's hard to trust Clark's chin all the way. Stosic does present a lot of problems with that power he has, but I still lean a little bit more towards Clark because I think he's more capable of making this an ugly fight and kind of grinding Stosic out along the way. Maybe even gets a late finish, but I think not a confident one, but I have to lean Clark's way.
Clark is capable of grinding this out, but it feels like the UFC is trying to feed him to some prospects. I mean, it's just been time and time again that Clark has faced these up-and-coming light heavyweights, and while he does have the ability to take fights to the floor and make fights a little ugly at times, and he does have a little bit of pop in his hands as well, Stosic is, you know, a protege of Krokop. He's a really talented striker, looked great in his last fight, had an impressive finish, and Clark is a bit chinny. So unless Clark can really gum up the works and get this fight ugly and take it to the floor and keep Stosic out of his comfort zone, I think Stosic catches Clark at some point and puts his lights out. So my pick's going to be Stosic. I think he gets the job done and wins by knockout. Now dropping down to the women's 135-pound division, we have Duda Santana, who is 3-0, taking on Bia Malecki, who is 2-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Santana minus 165, Malecki plus 125. That was the opener, and right now what we're seeing is Malecki actually the favorite, minus 115, Santana plus 102. Another spot where the line flipped, but two-way action is coming in right now, and the odds are obviously closer to a pick'em. Another tough fight. I mean, Santana is going to be – she's physically a strong fighter, going to be the bull. I mean, she's the aggressor usually in most fights, and she has a lot of power. I mean, she pushes forward. She likes to stand and bang and kind of be a brawler, like I said. So I think she's capable of doing that. She's getting better in the game. Obviously, she's trying to look for takedowns, has some ground and pound ability as well, and working on her ground game all the time because I think that's still her weakness. Malecki at this point, I think, is a little bit more well-rounded. Of course, she has a Muay Thai background. She's very technical on the feet. She's definitely more technical than Santana everywhere the fight takes place. I think her ground game is a little bit more advanced right now as well. So this should be a good fight. I mean, like I said, Santana presents a lot of problems because I think her strength alone and her aggression, but I think Malecki's technique is going to probably prevail in this fight. So the early action coming in her way, I understand it. I think she is the better fighter and just a little bit more advanced at this point. So I'm going to lean her way, but another tough fight to call because I think there's a lot of potential in Santana. And from what you see of her, I mean, if she does get her skill defined, man, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with for sure. And again, I think she's going to be the stronger fighter. So another spot where you get the early line, hats off to you because I think there was more value there, but now it's a little bit tougher, but I still lean Malecki's way and I think she's going to probably get it done here.
You know, neither fighter has a lot of professional experience, so this one could be a total crapshoot. I agree that Malecki has a little bit more technical skill, but Santana might be able to overcome that with pure aggression. Santana throws a little bit more often. She has a little bit more power, I think. Malecki is the slightly better technical striker, and I do think Malecki has the better ground game, but I can see Santana just forcing Malecki to fight off of her back foot and winning some points on the judges' scorecards that way. So, again, you know, when you have a professional bout with both fighters having five combined professional fights, it can be anything can happen, really. But I'm going to side with the more aggressive fighter here, and I think that that could play to her advantage, especially if it does go to the scorecards, which I think is a high possibility. So Santana's going to be my pick. Now moving up to the lightweight division, we have Stevie Ray, who is 22-8, taking on Leonardo Santos, who is 16-3-1. Now, Nick, What's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Santos open minus 195. The comeback on Ray at plus 155. Right now, looking over at Santos at BetDSI, he's minus 169. The comeback on Ray is at plus 150. So line margins have tightened up. A little bit more action coming in Santos's way early on. Now we're seeing more action coming in Ray's way. I think a lot of people are concerned with Santos's time off. He's not getting any younger, but there's definitely more skill on Santos's side, make no mistake. I mean, the grappling alone, I mean, what a huge advantage he has. Ray's not a fish out of water on the ground, but I mean, styles make fights, and this on the ground is a horrible stylistic matchup for Ray. So he wants to keep this fight standing. His best path to victory is definitely out striking Santos on the feet, trying to do some damage and maybe looking for that knockout. For Santos, he can strike with him a little bit, look to close the gap and try to get this fight to the floor. And then, like I said, on the ground, Santos is going to probably have his way with Ray. So I think Santos does get it done. I know there's a lot of people, you know, questioning Santos at this point of his career. That's why we're seeing some action coming in Ray's way. I don't think Ray's going to be able to keep this fight upright. So if that's the case, he's going to lose his fight. So I'm going to lean with Santos. And as the price drops and we're seeing the line get, you know, closer to pick'em odds, it's not going to hit pick'em, make no mistake, but it's getting, you know, it's dropping even more towards that direction. I think there might be some value that opens up on Santos because his ground game, even with the time being out, I mean, he still can definitely fall back on what he does best, and that's on the ground at any time throughout the fight. Get it there, I think, and get it done. So the pick is Santos, and again, as the fight drops a little bit, line value opens up and maybe take a little bit of a stab on Santos to win.
Yeah, my main issue with Santos is just that he hasn't fought in forever, but overall, he's a guy that is extremely talented, hasn't lost in the UFC yet. He has a terrific ground game, has finished some very good fighters on the canvas, including Tony Martin. And then on the feet, he has a very competent boxing skill set, having knocked out Kevin Lee. So, you know, this is a guy that has a very solid skill set. I mean, my only issue is that he hasn't fought in a while and he's old. He's 39 years old at this point. So we don't really know what we'll see out of him this time around. Ray, we kind of know what we get out of him. He can lose against, you know, better technical strikers, and he definitely can be out grappled. So, Ray does have some power in his hands and he can be very dangerous, has a good left hand, but I really like Santos here. As long as he still has those same skills that he had before this long hiatus he's been on, I think this is clearly Santos's fight to lose. But if he's lost a step, Ray could take advantage. But I think Santos takes this. I think he can win by outpointing Ray on the feet. I think he can submit Ray, and he might even be able to knock him out if Ray comes in too over-aggressive. Now, sticking with the lightweight division, we have Nick Hine, who is 14-4-1, taking on Frank Camacho, who is 21-7. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Hine opened minus 180 to come back on Camacho plus 140. Right now at BetDSI, we're seeing Camacho minus 128, Hine plus 106, so line flipped. More action coming in Camacho's way. And we've seen a steady flow that way. So there is definitely more action Camacho, I think, across the board at most sports books. So the books are going to need Hine to pull this off. I don't think it's out of the realm. I mean, I think Hine is definitely capable of winning this fight. It's just unfortunately for me to see Hine not performing at his best. I mean, I think he's on a bit of a decline, and, you know, declines are real. So I think he was kind of progressing early on in his career. He was doing well, picking up some momentum, but what we've seen late from Hine, I don't like it at all. And I think Camacho, even though he's taking this fight on shorter notice, I mean, how he matches up against Hine, I think his striking matches up well. If Hine doesn't clip him and knock him out, I am worried about Camacho's chin. I mean, he's been a warrior so far in the UFC, but you never know. I mean, I think he's always been a little bit of concern in that regard because he's the type of fighter that likes to get a firefight, and he can be a bit chinny at times. And then his conditioning at times, he does tend to slow down. I think that's the key here for Hine. If he can hang on and get some momentum early on, and then maybe by round two or three start picking up the pace a little bit and be more active, he could probably steal this fight. So again, this is a tough one for me. I know a lot of people are favoring Camacho. I agree with that. I'm going to lean his way because I think he can outstrike Hine overall, but I'm not as confident again because I think as this fight progresses a little bit, I think Hine could find his moments here and maybe steal a fight and get the nod on the judges' scorecards because he is a tough guy. And like I said, he has flashes of actually being a very solid fighter and capable of winning, especially on the scorecard. So this is tough for me, but I am going to lean towards Camacho. I just think he is the better striker, and stylistically he matches up well against Hine, and more times than not, he should win this fight.
You know, I was a believer in Hein, but it does seem like he's starting to lose a step a little bit. You know, having that judo background, he had a great start to his UFC career, but he has not been performing nearly as well as he's moved on. And Camacho actually has surprised me. You know, I thought that he was more of a regional talent, but I mean, he's been in some really entertaining scraps against some tough guys. And I think that he has quite a bit to offer, you know, not as a contender, but as a guy that can really put on some exciting fights and really please the crowds. So Camacho's crowd-pleasing style actually plays to his favor here, because Hein has a tendency to let his opponent dictate things and does not adapt well during fights. He can start strong, but slows down. And Camacho is the type of guy that just keeps going and pushing and pushing and pressuring his opponent and kind of forcing them to engage. Hein got into a bit of a brawl his last fight against Hadzovic and lost that fight, and I think that that could happen again here. And a brawl definitely favors Camacho because, you know, he has a pretty good chin. He can dish it out just as well as he can take it, and I think that he gets the better of Hein and probably wins a decision due to that aggression. So I like Camacho as well. Now, dropping down to the women's bantamweight division, we have Tanya Evinger, who is 19-8, taking on Lena Landsberg, who is 8-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Evinger, minus 175, Landsberg, plus 135. And right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Evinger, minus 303, Landsberg, plus 259. So needless to say, Evinger got steamed up a little bit. And I understand it again. Evinger is just a quality fighter. She's been around the sport for such a long time. She's a grinder. She's a gritty fighter. She's tough as nails. I mean, she looks for takedowns. She looks to grind you out and, again, just implement her game plan. And she's smart enough to do so in most cases. She's gotten to the point where, you know, even on the ground, her submission skill is not just – it's only not ground and pound that's effective for her these days. It's actually some submission that go along with it. So that's what she's going to look to do here. I mean, obviously, Evinger on the feet isn't horrible, but it's not where she wants to be with Landsberg. Landsberg's the better striker, especially in the clinch. I think even though Evinger is capable of getting some takedowns from the clinch, I think Landsberg is going to be able to do what she does best and kind of, you know, work that plumb a little bit, deliver some elbows and do some damage there. So Evinger has to be careful in that aspect of things to try to avoid some of the knees and elbows along the way. But I think she probably does implement her game plan. That's why all the action did come in her way. A lot of people believe she is going to probably grind Landsberg out. But Landsberg's definitely going to be motivated. This is her backyard. So she's going to come to fight and she probably knows what to expect. So it might be competitive for a little while, but eventually I think Evinger will take over and probably get the job done here. So at the betting window at minus 300, I would not touch that fight right now. So early action again that came in on Evinger at the cheaper price. I understand it. But right now, I think Landsberg is pretty game. She's going to show up here. So be cautious if you're laying Evinger in this spot. So the pick is Evinger to win. I think she does grind Landsberg out.
Evinger's had a rough go of it so far in her UFC career, facing Cyborg in her debut and then one of the best prospects in the division, Aspen Ladd, in her last fight. But she finally gets a winnable fight here. I mean, Landsberg's tough, and she has some decent striking and is probably the better striker here, but I don't think Evinger keeps it upright for very long. She made her big run in Invicta with wrestling, top position, ground and pound, and submissions, and just grinding opponents out and wearing them down and finishing them. So I think that's what happens here. Landsberg is just doesn't have the power to stop Evinger from putting the pressure on, getting inside, dragging her to the floor. And I think once this fight does go to the floor, Evinger should be in total control. She can win a decision if she wants to, you know, lay and pray it. But I think Evinger still has that ability to get to the floor and then do some damage and get a finish. And again, somebody like Landsberg, who's a bit limited on the ground, I think Evinger could have a field day once this hits the canvas. So Evinger has not looked particularly good so far in the UFC, but I think that she has a nice, bright, shining moment here. So my pick is going to be Evinger. I think she wins by submission or potentially a ground and pound TKO. Now, moving up to the welterweight division for the preliminary card headliner, we have Sergey Kandosko, who is 25-5-1, taking on Rostam Akman, who is 5-0. Now, Nick, What's the MMA odds makers perspective on this one?
Kendosko open minus 175, Ackman plus 135. And right now looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing Kendozo minus 149, the comeback on Ackman at plus 132. So again, line margins have tightened up. Another tough fight to call out there. A lot of bettors are kind of confused, and I think avoiding this fight somewhat because it should be another tough, close fight. I mean, both these guys obviously making their UFC debut. I think they both belong here. Kendozko, obviously the more experienced fighter. I've been pretty impressed with him. I mean, he's 27 years old, but with that youth still, I mean, he's right there kind of almost on the prime of his career, and he's learned quite a bit, and he's fought a solid resume thus far. And again, one of these fighters that's actually coming to the UFC with a complete game. I mean, he can beat you on the feet. I'm impressed with his stand-up skill. Offensively, he's pretty solid. He's got some length to his game. He knows how to use it. He mixes things up well. He's got a good clinch game. He does look for takedowns, and he has a good ground game to go along with it, and he has submission skills. So a very well-rounded fighter. Can beat you on the cards, submit you, or finish you on the feet as well. So like what I see, only gets better fight by fight. Again, he's kind of, you know, filling into his body and his frame at 170 pounds as well. So a lot to like about him. But Ackman, on the other hand, man, this guy's a beast. He's strong, aggressive, has power on the feet. He looks for takedowns and ground and pound as well. I mean, again, talk about making things look a little bit ugly. I mean, he comes at you and he's trying to take your lights out every time he throws. So he definitely has some skill. He's got some ability on the ground as well. I just think at this point, I think even though Ackman might be a little bit more powerful and he's going to be the aggressor at times, I think Kendozko is going to be a little bit more prepared, and he's faced a little bit more adversity at this stage of his career. So I just side with him a little bit more. I think he will have more success on the feet. Even if Ackman's landing the harder punches, I think Kendozko is going to be the one having a little bit more success with a variety of strikes. And then again, I think he could find a spot and possibly finish late or steal the scorecards here. So I am going to lean with Kendozko. I think he's just a little bit, at this point, a little bit farther ahead of Ackman. But man, I like what I see from both these guys, and I think they're a welcome addition to the welterweight division in UFC. So the pick is Kendozko, and it should be an exciting fight.
And I'm in agreement. Kendozko just has more experience. Ackman is pretty talented and he's got some power. I mean, he's destroyed his opponents he's faced so far, but he just hasn't really faced anybody yet. And he is a guy that has some experience. I mean, he has only the 5 professional fights, but he has at least a dozen amateur bouts. So it's not like he's coming in with no experience, but he's coming in a quick turnaround. He only fought a couple weeks ago. He's stepping in on short notice. I think Kendozko was going to have his hands full with his original opponent, Fabinski, who could take him down and beat him up on the canvas. But this is going to be a stand-up fight almost exclusively. Both of these guys like to stand and bang. Kendozko is a talented striker. I mean, both of these guys are. But Kendozko has faced way better competition. He's way more experienced. And he's still pretty durable. So I think Ackman's going to have his hands full here. And he does have a puncher's chance. And he is fighting in his backyard. So he clearly could win this fight if he lands a good shot. But I think Kendozko is going to set the tone in this bout and push the pace. And I think it'll be tough for Ackman to keep up with him in the long run. So I'm going to side with Kendozko. I think he can win a decision or potentially finish Ackman as this fight drags on. So Kendozko is going to be my pick. Now moving on to the main card in the featherweight division, we have Daniel Tamer, who is 6-3, taking on Sungbin Jo, who is 9-0. Now Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Bin Jo open minus 195, Tamer plus 155, and right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI, Bin Jo minus 141. And the comeback on Tamer plus 125. So live margins have tightened up. A little bit more action on the dog here. But again, Bin Jo did get better early on as well. So another spot where bettors are kind of split in this fight. Bin Jo definitely is the more appealing side, right? Undefeated. Tamer, unfortunately for him, out of the two Tamer brothers, Daniel's definitely the one that, has had a lackluster start to his UFC career. He's fighting for his UFC life right now. I know this is in his backyard as well. So he's got a lot to prove in this fight. And unfortunately for him, I think he is a talented fighter. I mean, the guy has power. He's aggressive. He's definitely dangerous on the feet. He's got some good wrestling, a little bit of ground skill to go along with it. But the problem with him is as the fight progresses, he tends to slow down a little bit. And he's so aggressive, he does leave openings and makes mistakes at times. So Bin Jo, he's a little bit more technically sound. I think his conditioning overall is a little bit better. He's going to have some length in this fight as well. I mean, from what you see from him. I mean, the guy definitely is a talented fighter. He's dangerous on the feet. He's capable of taking the fight to the floor at times as well and working a pretty solid ground game. But I'm not quite sold on him yet either. I think, you know, the hype behind him, this is going to be a real test for him. I think Tamer is not going to be a joke here. So I'm kind of split on this fight as well, because I think, again, the attractive side would be Ben Joe. But I mean, from what I've seen defensively, it is a bit of concern as well. He's kind of got tall man defense in a way. He's hittable. And I think Tamer does present some problems, especially early on in the fight. So I've been kind of going back and forth on this one myself. I mean, like I said, this is a spot where Ben Joe's been out for over a year. He's coming in here against a very hungry fighter in Tamer. And Tamer's underperformed so far in the UFC, so I'm kind of convincing myself, I guess, to pick Tamer. This is honestly a fence spot for me, though. I'm going back and forth, but I'll go the opposite way. I think most people are probably going to be a little bit more attracted again to Ben Joe, so I'll go against the grain, I guess, and I'll pick Tamer to win. But again, not a confident pick, because Tamer can just have another lackluster performance, even though he shows flashes at times of being a very solid and capable fighter. I think, like I said, his career's on the line, so I'll side with him to possibly get it done inside the distance against Ben Joe. So the pick is Tamer, but obviously at the betting window, it's another tough one.
Yeah, this one is interesting because clearly Tamer has not performed well in the UFC so far. He's a pretty good striker, but he doesn't have very good conditioning, and he's not particularly effective on the ground. So if he doesn't take Ben Joe out quickly, I think he's in trouble. Ben Joe's talented. This is a guy that gets fights to the floor, has some good size, and has a lot of confidence. And when he does get fights to the ground, he finishes them. And he has some power on the feet as well. And I think what impressed me the most was in his last fight, he went into the fourth round and got a finish there. So I don't think conditioning is going to be that big of an issue either. So Ben Joe is a guy that, you know, deserves to be in the UFC, and I think that he has some talent, and I think at some point along the way, as long as Ben Joe doesn't get caught early in the first round, I think he could knock Tamer out in the second or third round, maybe even the end of the first, or he could take this fight to the canvas and potentially submit Tamer as well. So I'm going to pick Ben Joe. I think he gets the job done. Now, moving up to the lightweight division, we have Christos Giagos, who is 16-7, taking on Demir Hadzovic, who is 13-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Hadzovic, -275, Giagos, +195. Right now, what we're seeing is Hadzovic, -164, Giagos, +145. So, again, public scooped up a pretty good number, I think, of Giagos. This is going to be a competitive fight. I think Giagos doesn't get a lot of respect. This guy is a very good fighter. Unfortunately for him thus far in the UFC, though, he's faced nothing but solid competition. The UFC not doing any favors for Giagos. So I think that's why a lot of people are underrating his skill set. The guy's tough, man. The guy has good stand-up ability. He's strong for the weight class overall. He's got a good ground game. I mean, he's going to get out wrestled by fighters, of course, like that are obviously more prone to wrestle, or, you know, the high quality caliber type of fighters in that realm, or Charles Oliveira submitting him. I mean, that's not a big shocker. He submits a lot of people as well. So, I mean, there's cases like that where he can get beat. But overall, Giagos is a very game and dangerous fighter. He's going to bring it here. Hadzovic has been impressive, though, at the same time. So I like the matchup. I mean, this is definitely an intriguing fight, and I think it's going to be a competitive one. But I do still lean a little bit more towards Hadzovic. I think he's going to have a little bit more physical size and strength over Giagos, and I think he's going to look for some takedowns, and he's capable of mixing things up a little bit better. So all the compliments I just paid Giagos, I think the UFC did him no favors here. I mean, it's a winnable fight for him. I think, again, he'll probably perform better than most people anticipate, but I still think I like what I see from Hadzovic. I mean, he has some momentum on his side right now. I mean, the guy's always been, in my opinion, underrated. He's got some power on the feet, underrated wrestling, a pretty good fight IQ overall. It's just defensively at times what is a little bit of concern. And, you know, obviously, again, almost a similar situation where against really good wrestlers or guys that can grind him out a little bit, he has had some problems in the past with that. But I think both these guys are going to want to stand and bang. And if anybody wrestles here, it's probably Hadzovic looking for some takedowns over Giagos. So I do lean his way. I think he probably does win this fight in what should be a pretty fun fight. So looking forward to it. The pick is Hadzovic in a slight lean.
And I'm right with you. Giagos is tough, and he finally, you know, got that monkey off of his back after a long break between UFC wins, and had a solid performance against Hirota. But unfortunately, I think Hadzovic is going to be too much for him. I mean, Hadzovic seems like a fighter on the rise in the featherweight division, and he's talented, has some power, is a good striker. And while, you know, Giagos is tough, I think Hadzovic is a fighter that, can outpace him here. I think Hadzovic has a little bit more pop in his hands. I think Hadzovic can push a little bit of a higher tempo, and he might even take this fight to the floor. So I think Chiagos will hold his own, and this is going to be entertaining, but I just see Hadzovic outworking Chiagos over the course of three rounds or potentially finishing this along the way. Hadzovic definitely seems like a fighter in the rise, and I'm buying in on him right now. So this is Hadzovic's fight to lose, and I do think that he takes care of business. Now, dropping down to the featherweight division, we have Makwan Amirkhani, who is 14-3, taking on Chris Fishgold, who is 18-2-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Fishgold open -145, Amirkhani and +105. And right now, looking over BetDSI, we're actually seeing Amirkhani -110, the comeback on Fishgold -102. So line flipped, basically a pick'em fight with a slight lean towards Amirkhani. Early on, it was a lean towards Fishgold. And there are some people that are going to come in hammering either way here as well. So a lot of split opinions on this fight. And rightfully so. I mean, both these guys have similarities. Both of these guys have a good ground game. They're strong. They like to take the fight to the floor, but they're capable of doing damage on the feet as well. They got some power. They got some submission skill. So complete fighters. But I do think I like what I see from Amirkhani a little bit more so far. I think he was overhyped coming into the UFC, making his debut. He had some success early on, and people were kind of giving him too much credit. But despite him having some tough fights recently and actually suffering a loss, I think that he's actually performed better, and I think I see the improvements in his game. And he's, to me, he's like a sponge. I mean, the guy is just a talented fighter, a good athlete, and he soaks everything up and he gets better fight by fight. So at this point, I know he hasn't been as consistent as we all want to see him, but I think he's making big time improvements, and those are going to show here against Fishgold. Fishgold's game, he's a tough guy. I have a lot of respect for him, even outside of the UFC before he made his debut against Cater, which was a very difficult debut to make. I mean, a Cage Warriors champion and all the, you know, battles he had in Cage Warriors. He was ready for the UFC. And he belongs on this roster for sure. I like what I see. He does have the type of capabilities to come back even when he's down or weathering a storm in a fight and then come back and finish the fight. So you like those qualities. And again, he's well-rounded in his own right. So this is going to be a tough fight for both men. But I just think as the fight progresses a little bit, Amirkhani is going to start to take over. I like the length that he has on the feet over Fishgold. I think he could get top position on the ground as well. So just those slight leans towards Amirkhani are making it enough for me to actually pick him. And I think he is going to win the fight. So I like where the line is right now. I think there's still a little bit of value on Amirkhani because, again, those improvements, I think, are just a bit more than what Fishgold's showing to me now. But both these guys are game, and it should be a good fight. Just a lean is Amirkhani for me.
Fishgold is definitely game on the canvas, and he's always going to be dangerous with submissions. But my main issue here is Amirkhani is going to be much more dangerous on the feet. He's a big, strong featherweight. I think Amirkhani is the better athlete. He's better with his wrestling. So if it does go to the floor, I think Amirkhani gets top position, and he's been in there against some guys with some pretty crafty ground games in his recent fights against, you know, Arnold Allen, Jason Knight, and has not been caught. And I don't think that Fishgold is the guy to catch him. So even if this does go to the floor, I think Amirkhani can ride out in top position and avoid the submissions. But when it's on the feet, Amirkhani should definitely have the edge as well, just with, I think the superior striking, the, excellent size for the division, the power that he possesses, and, the pace that he can push. So overall, I just think that this is Amirkhani's fight to lose, as long as he does not get caught with like a triangle choke or armbar from Fishgold while he's in top position if this fight does go to the floor. So. Amirkhani is going to be my pick. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the light heavyweight division, we have Jimmy Manoa, who is 17-5, taking on Alexander Rakic, who is 11-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Rakic -285, Manoa +205, and right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Rakic -213 +179. So line margins have tightened up a little bit as well. Tough fight to bet again. I mean, obviously, again, the popular opinion is going to be, I mean, the pretty attractive side is going to be Rakic in this spot, right? I mean, he's the up and coming guy. This is obviously a stepping stone type of fight. pinning Manoa up against him. And I get it. And I think he does pass this test, but Manoa's always going to be dangerous, man. I mean, if you look at that Thiago Santos fight as of late, the punishment that he's, you know, was taking back and forth and delivering out. I mean, Manoa's the type of fighter that is capable of obviously knocking out anybody in the light heavyweight division. So, I mean, there's no question he has that kind of problem, but he is a declining fighter in my opinion. And the longer this fight goes, the more it's going to favor Rakic. So this is going to be a tough fight though. This is definitely a tough stepping stone, as you would say, for Rakic to get, but I think he can get it done. I just think at this point of his career, again, he's just a better overall fighter. I think he could do some damage. He can knock Mano out, honestly, on the feet as well. He just has to be careful and respect that power, but I think he's just better on the ground. It's not going to be easy handling Mano in that regard either, but just everywhere across the board the fight takes place. I mean, it's Rakic's fight to win. It was catered for him to win, and I think he does get it done. So barring just Mano landing a big bomb and putting Rakic's lights out, I mean, I think, again, this fight is catered for Rakic to win, and it's hard not to see that. So I'm picking him to win. And, again, I understand if people want to throw him in a parlay or two, because I think as the line drops a little bit and people respect Manoa, there might be more value that opens up in him. Just be cautious out there. But I do think he gets a finish. Or even better prop out there, Rakic inside the distance or possibly by knockout. That's probably the way to go here. So the pick is Rakic.
I definitely feel like of these two fighters, Rakic is the one that has – the brighter future. I mean, Manoa is getting up there in years. He's been getting knocked out. He's on a 3-fight losing streak. Granted, it was against a pretty top opposition. So this is going to be tough for him, but, Rakic, while he is extremely talented, this is by far the best opponent he's faced. This is the first time he's faced somebody in the top 15. And Rakic, while he does have good wrestling, strong, striking, some good power. You know, he can't come into this fight overconfident. He can't come in thinking that he's just going to knock Manoa out or come in aggressively trying to knock Manoa out, because that's usually where, you make mistakes, you get caught. So, Manoa definitely has the ability to win this fight. He has power. He's dangerous. I mean, Thiago Santos is fighting for the title and he was, you know, in big trouble against Santos. Against Manoa in their last fight, which was just an absolute war. So Manoa was definitely, definitely capable of landing something huge and turning this fight around at any moment. But overall, I do think Rakic is the fighter on the rise. I think that he does have some really good tools here, especially if he can put Manoa on his back and then avoid the power. So I'm going to side with Rakic here, but he just can't take Manoa for granted, because this is clearly the toughest fight of his career so far. Now, moving on to the main event of the evening, we have Alexander Gustafsson, who is 18-5, taking on Anthony Smith, who is 31-14. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Gustafsson, open minus 245, the comeback on Smith, plus 175. Right now, looking over at BetDSI's, Gustafsson minus 294, the comeback on Smith, plus 250. So again, line margins have tightened up. A little bit more action on Gustafsson's way. I understand it. I mean, it's hard not to like him in this spot. Smith has overachieved. I mean, just facing John Jones for the title and getting to that spot, you got to take your hat off to him, and deservingly so. I mean, you know, it wasn't like the UFC gave him gimmies. He went out there and performed, and he beat some solid competition to do so. But this is another spot. I mean, both these guys coming off losses, obviously, to John Jones. So the matchup makes sense, I guess, here. I just think that stylistically, it's a nightmare matchup for Smith. I mean, he's going to have to land something big to win this fight. Outside of that, I mean, Gustafsson across the board is just the better fighter. He's the better striker. He's the better wrestler. Submission game, it's pretty close, because obviously that if any weakness at all, you would think that the ground game is still probably one of Gustafsson's biggest weaknesses, even though his wrestling has improved, like submission-wise, you would say, even though he's offensively, defensively, that might be a concern. And Smith may be able to exploit that at times, but I doubt it here in this spot. So Smith might have the pure submission edge, but outside of that, again, I just don't see him catching Gustafsson, obviously, with a sub. I think he probably gets beat up, take some damage here, maybe survives to, you know, see the scorecards again. But I just think that he needs to land and finish Gustafsson. Without doing so, he's probably either going to get finished late or lose on the scorecards here. So it's Gustafsson for me. Price is about where you want to stay away from it right now, because again, even though I think he is the better fighter across the board, he's not getting any younger. I think we are probably starting to see a little bit of a decline. It might not be fair to say quite yet, but I don't know. I don't trust him at this point right now either. And Smith's a hungry fighter. He wants to redeem himself a little bit. So you never know. Even though Gustafsson is the better fighter, you got to be cautious out there, especially where it is now. So in my opinion, Gustafsson wins, but at the current price, it's another stay away from spot. Just sit back, enjoy the event. Hopefully it's a pretty good main event here.
This definitely should be a fun fight. I mean, Smith just soared through the light heavyweight division to get that title shot opportunity against John Jones. And yeah, he came up short. It wasn't a very good performance. He didn't do enough. He kind of had that deer in the headlights type of a performance, and that could happen here as well. I mean, he's going to be fighting in serious hostile territory. Gustafsson's like a national hero. And Gustafsson is the more talented fighter of the two. I think Gustafsson's the better striker. I think, you know, Gustafsson clearly does have that size edge, and Smith had some issues dealing with John Jones's size in his last fight. And while Smith does have some good submission skills, Gustafsson is the better wrestler. You know, Gustafsson got out grappled by Phil Davis early in his UFC career and then started training with Davis, and then wrestling became a strong part of his game. And he's won multiple fights by taking fighters down and beating them up on the canvas. And I think he's not afraid to do that here. I don't think Smith can threaten Gustafsson with submissions or anything, because Gustafsson hasn't been submitted since that Phil Davis loss. So, and that was a really long time ago. Gustafsson did lose on the ground in his last fight, but that was John Jones TKO. And I just don't think that Smith has the wrestling, the control, the ground and pound, or any of the skills that Gustafsson wouldn't be able to overcome. My main issue is Gustafsson is still has some durability issues with his chin, and Smith has shown some nasty power. And while I do think that Gustafsson is the superior striker of the two, all it takes is one good shot. And we've seen that. You know, Gustafsson has been hurt multiple times throughout his career. He's been knocked out a couple times now. So if Smith can connect solidly, it could be lights out for Gustafsson. Absolutely. So with that being said, though, I do think, you know, Gustafsson is just the better fighter here. I think he has more tools. He has size. And I think that he has the better wrestling as well. So I think that he gets the job done as long as his chin stays protected. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC on ESPN Plus 11. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you for free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.